level up in spirituality. No sense in wasting time. And I haven't even looked properly into Draco's settings, although my hands were itching to do just that. 3 hours spent with the dragon flew by in an instant. I increased my spirituality to level 14. If I understood the description correctly, from level 20 I would be able to summon one spirit of a different element without a penalty. Great. Draco flicked his tail and returned to his world, and I, my energy restored, sped after the goblins.
"Hey, you! Stop right there!"
A rough voice brought me back to reality. I'd become so lost in thought that I'd even stopped looking around as I walked.
"Are you deaf or what?"
I finally turned around, when I realized the voice was coming from behind. The bright red glow of the names above the heads of the three players obligingly informed me who it was I ran across. PKers. From level 120 to 205. What did these goons want?
"That's him, right?"
The highest level player turned to one of the others.
"He's got the right nick, but where's the red headband? The merchant mentioned it several times." "Yo! You from Beatwick?"
That was addressed to me now. "No, from Farstead. Finished a quest and coming back now." Yeah, like I'll tell them all the truth this very minute. Being rude to PKers, especially of this level, is not a good idea. They'd send you for respawn at the drop of a hat, and I had a herd to return. But being honest with them when they seemed to have found out about my red headband somehow, my intuition told me it wasn't such a good idea. By the way, where the heck was the damn thing when I was catching Beth? Went completely stumm on me.
"Tiger, get him. Don't let him slip away,"
said the head of this threesome, and then turned back to me.
"We'll just quickly check whether it's you or not, and then let you go."
Dratanian's face sported an evil grin. He could have at least written his name correctly, stupid bastard.
"On the ready, check."
"Ready,"
the player who was called Tiger replied, though his full name came up as Tigerat.
"Then let's roll."
The boss got off his horse and headed towards me. I don't get it. What kind of nasty stuff did they have in mind?
"Drat, leave a bit for me,"
the third player in this little show put in. "Lanus. You didn't even have to think of giving him a rude nickname. It was practically suggesting itself." Everything that happened after this only took about a couple of seconds. At first, I was given a buff, Pain Suppression, which reduced the sustained damage by 50% for 30 seconds and prevented me from being sent off for respawn while it was active, a useful ability to support the tank when the raid is bringing down a boss. Then Dratanian dropped on me with his entire 205-level weight and started to shred my character, hitting me with the dagger, his feet, head, and armor spikes. I held out until the last, having realized what this PKer was trying to do. He wanted to check if I could feel pain or not. What a scumbag. I broke after only 20 seconds, though they seemed an eternity to me, and screamed.
"There! Now we know,"
said the leader slowly, getting up. I remained lying on the ground, fitfully gulping air. Damn.
"You can tell us how you got rid of the headband later, or rather, where you found that much cash. But now, listen here. I've come by information that you have a certain very interesting object, the Eye of the Dark Widow. I need it. Or do you want to find out what real pain feels like?"
There was a clap of the teleportation portal, and a herald appeared next to us.
"Good day, gentlemen. How do you like the weather around here? Don't you find that the sun in this region has a special glow to it?"
"My salutations, herald."
Dratanian bowed his head.
"How can we be of service?"
Oh, just a sheer trifle. Someone here mentioned pain in relation to a former resident of a mine. Regrettably for you, I cannot allow this. This is against the rules.
Hold on, Harold. You are confusing something. This is an ordinary free citizen here. Is it no longer allowed to hunt free citizens in Barleona? Is this your official answer?
That leader's no fool. He didn't lose his nerve in front of such a high-ranking guest, is sticking to his guns, and is even trying to gain some advantage from it all.
No, not at all. Hunting is not forbidden. But torture is not allowed in Barleona. With the exception of those who descend to the torture dungeons of their own accord, they know what they're getting into. Remember this. If I find out that someone was torturing a free citizen, measures would have to be taken. Thank you for your time. Good luck with your adventures in Barleona.
The herald went back into the portal, which then vanished with a loud bang.
"Drat, what are we going to do now?" asked Lanus, stunned. "Did we trudge all the way out here for nothing?"
"Chill it. My bad. I forgot that those that leave the mines are being closely watched. Yeah, we can't torture him, but no one said we can't play with him a little."
Drat gave me a very unpleasant look.
"Tiger, don't attack him. Your turn to play nurse now, and heal him to full or he'll drop at the first sneeze. If we can't get what we want this way, we'll find a workaround."
At first I didn't get what he was on about, but once I heard Drat's shout, I understood.
"Attention, all players! We are planning to carry out training exercises with AOE spells within a 3-kilometer radius. I politely ask everyone to leave this zone. Please accept our apologies for the inconvenience. Lane, you can start now. Show us your proficiency with ice rain. You can summon it over there if you like."
Drat pointed in my direction.
"All right, just a moment,"
Lanus replied in the same tone.
"I've had a feeling that something's been off with my rain for a while now. Take a look and tell me what I'm doing wrong."
At that moment, an apocalypse began next to me. Icicles started to fall from the sky, my movement speed was reduced by 70%, and my hit points plummeted.
"Careful!" shouted Tiger in the same showy manner. "I think we accidentally hit a player. Let me heal him now."
"Guys, have you totally lost it?" When the rain stopped, I got back on my feet. This was really a bit much. I couldn't jump away, since the rain froze me to the ground. I couldn't run, because it felt like someone was holding you, and it hurt like hell, too. The bastards. The rain left me with only one hit point, but the damned buff slapped on me by the friendly Tiger prevented me from being sent for respawn. Well, they can kiss my ass. I started looking around for a tree or a stone. I'll crash into it, and that's the last you gits will see of me.
"Tiger, patch him up. It's not good leaving a player in such a state when it's all our fault."
The scumbags were having fun while they were at it, relishing their little victory. And why not? They did, after all, declare this place a test zone, asking everyone to leave it. So, if you weren't quick enough, you had only yourself to blame. And when they did accidentally hit a player, they healed him up right away. That's some imaginative thinking. I'll kill these sickos. One spell uttered by Tiger restored everything. Hit points and energy, and removed the run-down horse debuff, too. I should experiment with the spirits later. Removing this debuff would be very useful. Right, if I could still think, not all was lost.
"Man, you don't happen to have the eye on you. It would be so nice if you gave it to me as a present. My birthday is in half a year, and it would make just the perfect gift.
What on earth makes you think I have it? Try using your head for a change. I'm only level 21. I live in the middle of nowhere.
If you don't want to do this the easy way, fine. Let's continue our training. Lane, try the ice explosion.
The earth next to me became covered in a crust of ice, bulged, and exploded with a deafening bang, sending me on a riveting flight. While I flew, along with the stars flicking through my eyes, came the messages that I received such and such a damage and was healed that many hit points. As soon as I hit the ground, Tiger completely restored my health from one to prevent me doing anything stupidly suicidal. Quite the ace healer. Not much else to say, really. Except for swear words. While the PKers laughed their heads off, I did the only thing I could at that point. I took to my heels and headed towards the forest, which I spotted a few kilometers off the road. I found myself thanking the developer who came up with the following interesting algorithm. The running speed was determined by the ratio of stamina and agility to the player level. Often, low-level players were much faster than high-level ones, but had a lot less stamina. Their energy fell too quickly. Not wasting any time on the shouts of, "Stop, or I'll kill you!" I entered the spirit summoning mode as I ran and called a strengthening spirit on myself. Let me run a little faster, even if not by much. A minute later, I realized that I had miscalculated. Yes, I was faster than the PKers, but the AOE radius of the ice rain turned out to be too large. A wall of ice appeared right before me, and I dove into it at full speed. Please, let this one shot me. Alas, Tiger was too good at his job.
Why'd you stop running?
By now the players had gotten on their mounts and were circling me at leisure.
Just when I was getting into the stride of things and starting to enjoy the hunt, the bunny keeled over. Onwards with the training.
Wayne, some AOE, please. Let's see how long he'll last.
Tiger, you'd better stay on the ball.
They made me run around the area for about an hour. As soon as I stopped, an icy rain began to fall next to me, forcing me to keep running. My attempts to resist by summoning spirits of control or water strike yielded nothing except a good laugh.
Who the hell told you about the eye?
I finally lost it and screamed at them. That's it. I just couldn't take this abuse anymore.
Had your fill of running, eh? No biggie. You'll keep at it. I'm having a great time here. Black market, you little twerp. Black market. Heard about it? You can buy many interesting things there, from the items that high-level players sell to the merchants, to the information that the merchants manage to pick up. Do you know how much you cost me? 30,000 gold. Plus teleporting here, 10,000 each. Dude, we're talking some real money here.
The incomprehension on my face must have been very obvious, since all three broke out in laughter.
Brett, he didn't get a word you said,
Tigerat put in as he finished laughing.
Little girl, the game isn't all sweetness and light. It's got nasty people in it, too. Like us. Those who did time at the mines. Those who know what the red headband means. Those who have got nearly everyone and everything in this game under their thumb. We're kings here, and those who have leveled up in meanness have access to this little bonus called Black Market. A damn useful thing. There, merchants sell information about what they saw, identified, and bought. Information is worth a lot in this game.
Tiger, why don't you do a little dance for him, too, while you're at it? You're getting way too chatty.
The leader interrupted him and turned to me.
Our information is correct. NPCs cannot lie. Hand over the eye, or we'll continue with the training. You know, I still have a problem with the way Lane summons Ice Rain on the move.
Go to hell, I growled. There's nothing you can do to me, stupid dipshits.
Oh, really? This is a game, sweetheart. The gaming process of PK hunting and training. And Tiger there, bless his bleeding heart, helps healing you and stops you from missing out on Barleona for the next 12 hours. I really haven't a clue how you keep ending up right in the center of our training zone. Are you doing this on purpose? I see you still don't get it. Let's continue with our session, then. Tiger, Lane, let's roll.
After half an hour of the chase, I'd run out of steam. I tried to grit my teeth and stand under the rain of icicles, but would break after 2 or 3 minutes. The pain was too much. Endurance steadily increased, having gone up by 3 points since we met, but it was a drop in the ocean. The mythical 500 points were distant and hard to imagine. I almost decided to give these scumbags the eye and be done with it, when I saw a flicker of a silhouette in the shadow of the trees, which we had gradually reached. A goblin. A plan immediately emerged in my head of how I could give these bastards the slip, at least for a few minutes.
Help! Coordinator's envoy has been captured and sent for torture! Help me!
The three players glanced at each other, not getting what collection of swear words I'd just thrown at them. Little wonder, since I was screaming in the language of dark goblins.
Farkatas, attack!
10 green-skinned minions of the Dark Empire jumped out of the forest. All of them only level 50. Against the 3 PKers, these were nothing. A brief distraction. But the goblins didn't give a damn about that. A representative of the Empire requested aid, so it had to be granted. While the players got to grips with the new obstacle, I ran for the forest. Time was too precious to lose.
Where do you think you're going?
I was once again enveloped in the ice rain.
We haven't finished our chat yet.
What the hell is that?
Asked Rat in surprise, when a drawn-out roar came from the direction of the forest. Hairs stood up on the back of my neck. Few in the game didn't know what that roar meant. The Wild Pack, the main shock troops of Cardass in its fight against the players. 10 200-level trolls riding their raptors. Someone's not going to have a very good time in a minute.
Dad, let's get out of here. It's the pack!
Lanus started to shout when a hail of arrows sped toward the players. The Wild Pack had arrived.
Tiger, get the shield up. Lane, finish off Mayan. He's the one who summoned the beasts. Faster!
Once again, Drat quickly grasped the situation. Clever bastard. I had nothing to deflect a level 100 ice arrow, so could only stand there and wait to be sent for respawn. Hiding from magic was useless, since it went through everything. A pity. I thought I had managed to outwit them.
Hit!
I was still standing, and watching how 10 raptors with their riders emerged out of the forest and surrounded the dome put up by Lanus, while Tiger Rat, eyes widened in surprise, was sending magic arrows at me one after another.
Arnimal Dragerhalv, Rapanvli?
A human dressed in black appeared next to me and was asking me something with a lifted eyebrow. He was completely unperturbed by Lanus's magical efforts to break through my incomprehensible defense. The stranger was entirely sure of himself and was trying to ask me something, but I didn't understand him in the slightest. Of the dark languages, I only knew Goblin, so I made good use of it in my reply. The coordinator only taught me the goblin language. I don't understand what you are saying. The man frowned, uttered something, and touched my head.
You have learned a new language, common language of the Dark Empire.
I'm asking you if you are all right.
Thank you. You made it just in time. Any longer, and they would have destroyed me, and I wouldn't have managed to deliver the message.
Don't kill them, the stranger shouted to the trolls. Mages, commence ensnarement.
Then he turned to me.
I permitted myself to be so bold as to protect you with a dome from these sentients.
He pointed to the players, who had already stopped resisting after being slapped with the stun debuff.
We would not be able to hold them long, as in 12 hours they will disappear, an unpleasant trait of the free citizens. But they can lie down here until then. In 11 hours or so, my warriors will send them to the Greylands. That way we'll gain a whole day. What does the coordinator need this time? Did he run out of teleportation scrolls again?
So, my current theory about the coordinator got smashed to smithereens. Teleportation scrolls. I am a blind and stupid ass for failing to think of such a simple thing. Why waste time on traveling between bases when you can jump there at any moment, and no one would notice a thing? This means that the entire village falls under suspicion once again. Blast! Exactly. The teleportation scrolls have run out, and there wasn't anyone else to send. You know the current situation. I began to spout out anything that came to mind. I had no idea what I was talking about, but the main thing was that I did it with a confident face. These may be advanced intellect imitators, but they're still programs, so could well fall for it.
All right, do climb on.
The stranger pointed to the sharp-toothed raptor that the trolls immediately brought to my side.
I don't have a supply with me. I'll have to ask the Keeper. Let him make some new ones.
Keeper? This title is given only to NPCs in charge of a castle. Have I stumbled across something interesting? The main thing is to behave naturally, as if none of this was out of the ordinary for me. I failed. After an hour-long wild ride through the forest, we found ourselves in an enormous clearing with a dark citadel at its center. My jaw hit the floor as I looked it over. There were 200-level ogres, goblins ranging from level 10 to level 100, dark orcs. The place was full of bustle and gave you the feeling that you were right in the middle of the Dark Empire. When we came up to the castle, I got a sense of the full scale of the local Cardus operation. Enormous walls, around 20 meters high and 5 meters thick, with a deep, water-filled moat, a typical dark castle of about level 400. The stranger smiled, looking at my reaction.
Impressive, no?
Very, was my honest answer. I would have never thought that such a wonder could be built here.
I agree. It was planned by none other than...
Who let the human in?
A terrible scream went through the castle.
Keeper. My guide bowed his head. This is the envoy of the coordinator, who is in need of portal scrolls again.
Does he snack on them or something? I just sent him a batch a month ago.
You know the current situation.
The man in black replied with my words. Who is he? And what the heck is really going on here?
All right, I'm coming down. Wait there.
The 8 free citizens and all the heralds flying all over the place caused us a world of trouble, my guide finally explained. We were beginning to fear that the entire plan would collapse, but the coordinator is pretty shrewd. I would admit that even I doubted that the idea of building a castle deep in Farstead lands
so far away from the ziggurat, was at all feasible. But practice has proved me wrong.
Keeper, that isn't all. I decided to go for the big bluff.
What is it?
The voice sounded once again. The coordinator didn't send me here just for the scrolls. This morning several of those that turned have driven away the entire Beatwick herd. However, the coordinator believes that it should be brought back. The residents are getting too worried. It's too early to show our hand. What was I saying? I was coming out with any old rubbish, as I improvised in the crazy-as-a-coot genre.
Arrgh! Cursed the voice. I already sent 10 of them for slaughter, to give my warriors a feast. Will the coordinator get very angry if these aren't returned?
No, but the villagers have to be compensated for the cost of the lost animals. He warned me that this might happen, and said that 5,000 gold for a killed cow would be sufficient. Then the missing cows could be bought in the neighboring villages. That was my sense of profit, which I had no idea I had, suddenly rearing its head. I had to get as much as I could out of the Dark Ones.
Arrgh! Thrice over! Fine! Wait there! I'm coming down!
Our master takes great care with his security, said the guide.
I wasn't quite getting this bit. Which master was he on about now?
He is prepared to reimburse the loss of the herd, just to remain in the shade.
Ah, that would be the coordinator, then. Is he the local master, then? Very interesting.
Here are 30 teleportation scrolls and 50,000 gold, said the 300-level goblin that came out of a small building.
I was wrong. This was just a 300-level castle. The level of the castle was always determined by the level of its keeper.
What do we do with the herd?
Let the goblins drive it back. Take it as far as the village and leg it back here, I proposed.
That's how we'll do it, then. I'll get the wild pack to see this through.
The goblin looked at my guide.
Why are you still here? Go!
Who's he? I nodded towards the departing man.
That! Our mage. And take no notice of his appearance. He is trying to copy his previous appearance, the underbaked lich. I told the master that we should have taken a dozen ordinary battle mages, but no, said it's easier with a lich.
I see. How is the construction progressing? The preparation of the army? What shall I tell the coordinator? I was doing all I could to make some progress with the quest. I needed at least a slight hint to understand who the coordinator was.
We are finishing construction. 2 corruptors have been built, but have not been deployed yet. We are waiting for the 3rd. The army is in full battle readiness, prepared to fight off an attack of 200 free citizens of up to and including level 300.
I don't get it. Are they setting up a separate country here? In the gap of the castle entrance, I saw the herd of cows being driven past. At least that quest was sorted out.
Tell the master that we are ready to begin and are awaiting his signal,
the keeper added, for a total knockout effect. What was it they were so ready to start? Want to share the tactics? I'm just interested to compare it to what the master told me. Attention, you have called the Dark Coordinator your master. If you repeat this title again in the next 10 minutes, your reputation with the Malabar Empire will decrease, and your reputation with the Dark Empire will increase by 1,000 points. Make your choice. What on earth do I need a reputation with Cartus for? Have the developers completely lost their marbles? What kind of a scenario did they cook up here? Never mind, I already know what to do.
It is in no way different from the one planned by the master.
The goblin looked at me in surprise.
Is something wrong with you?
Don't mind me.
I still haven't quite recovered from the chase those three free citizens gave me. I lied through my teeth.
Yes, I was already told. What did they want?
Nothing in particular. They just didn't like the look of me and decided to make my life difficult. Can you show me around the castle? I'd love to see how you've put things together around here. I spent 3 hours in the castle. The keeper gave me a tour around the citadel, showing me the corruptors being built, the things that curse the land and its inhabitants within a large radius. A similar one was standing somewhere near the ziggurat. At last, it was time for me to head back. The herd would soon be arriving at the Beatwick gates, so I would have to use a portal. What if it's linked to a particular house? Then I'll figure out who the coordinator is. The guards took me to the edge of the forest, pointed me in the direction of Beatwick, and returned to their posts. The time had come to act. After disappearing into the forest and hiding myself in thick shrubbery to make sure nothing could be seen from the side of the castle, I uttered a summons. "I call upon a herald. I require your assistance." The portal opened with a subdued clap, and an NPC dressed in white stepped out of it.
"You have summoned me. I hope the reason for my summons is substantial, otherwise a penalty will be imposed on you."
"Does that look substantial enough to you?" I asked, chuckling and moving away the foliage to show the herald the dark castle in the distance. "I think we're doing fine in the substance department."
"Great Emperor," whispered the herald. "This completely changes."
"Your reputation with the Malabar Empire has increased by 500 points. Current level, friendly. You are 2,930 points away from the status of respect."
"Changes what?"
I looked at the herald, who seemed somewhat at a loss.
"The citadel cannot be left unwatched. We have to know when and where the Cartus forces are being moved. A 300-level castle on Malabar territory? This equates to an invasion."
"The idea of keeping an eye on it is great, but I can't stay here. I will be forcibly teleported to Beatwick. Can you remove this limitation from me?"
I looked at the herald expectantly. What if it works, and my debuffs get removed?
"No, taking off this limitation is beyond my power."
The herald shook his head thoughtfully. "Damn, what a pity." "Then I can recommend a couple of free citizens who would be happy to watch this structure."
"Interesting. Who would you recommend?"
"In Anhurs, there are several sentients. Their names are..." I told the herald the correct names for Eric, Klotzer, and Leidy. "These sentients would do anything that's needed of them."
"These citizens of the Empire cannot be used for this task."
The herald gave me a reality check. I was all set on seeing my future team get busy with leveling up their reputation right now.
"Their threshold of trust with the Empire is too low. We cannot rely on those in whom we have no trust."
"I can vouch for them." I wasn't going to give up so easy on this. "They will carry out this task better than anyone else in this world."
"No," the herald cut me off. "We already gave you a chance to find the coordinator. You have only 4 weeks left now, but there are still no results. Who is the coordinator? What is he up to? And what are Karta's armies even doing in these lands? You have no answers for any of this. Therefore, soon real heroes of the Empire will be sent here to succeed where you have failed."
"I found the castle for you!"
I was almost screaming. Why was the herald having a go at me?
"We thank you for the castle, but you weren't able to find out who is coordinating all the work. Because the task of finding the coordinator is still currently in your hands, I ask you to choose from a list of recommended heroes the person who will observe the movements of Karta's forces." A really long list of players appeared before me, every single one of them above level 260. Beginning with the strange-sounding Atamzalat, and ending with Hellfire.
Scanning over the list didn't reveal a single good acquaintance of mine. They all looked the same to me. So I had to choose one, eh? No problem. 40th from above. He can do it. I had no idea who that was, but he was definitely not from Phoenix. The Herald closed his eyes, stood there for a few moments, and then was with me once again.
Unfortunately, the free citizen that you've chosen is not currently in this world. Please choose another Watcher.
How will the Watcher be rewarded? That was the question I should have asked at the start, but it only occurred to me now. It was rather fortunate that my first choice of player was offline.
Since this is a unique situation, Cartus has never before risked building a castle on our lands, remote though they are, the Watcher will receive his reward directly from the hands of the Emperor. The exact nature of the reward will be decided by the Emperor himself, depending on how well he regards the Watcher. The list contains only those who have access to the palace.
Will there be only one Watcher, or several?
The primary one must stay by the castle 70% of the time. The other 30% of the time it will be watched by his deputy, chosen by the Watcher himself.
Could I take a time out for a couple of minutes? I need to think.
Of course. I will be watching the building myself in the meantime.
The Herald turned away from me and stared at the castle. In the meantime, I was hit by a crazy idea, which I immediately decided to put into action. Anastaria. She had spent her entire gaming life chasing unique items, quests, and mobs. So if I chose her as the Watcher, I would put her squarely in my debt. Yes, she may have promised to rip something out of me, but she's far too proud to shaft a player who helped her. She would bend over backwards to repay the debt. This could be useful, should the need arise. Moreover, she should be punished for saying what she did. 4 weeks of being stuck in shrubbery, away from the capital and the center of events, would be a small kind of revenge. Let her sit here and stare at the goblins. It'll do her good. I took out the communication amulet and crossed my fingers for Anastaria to be in the game.
Speaking.
Yes, hang on, Stacy. Today is your lucky day. Hello, Anastaria. This is Mayan. Do you have a minute?
Mayan.
Anastaria's voice became icy. If a voice could inflict damage, I would have been sent for respawn by the cold right now.
I don't have time right now. Rick will call you back. He'll help you solve whatever it is.
Fine. It's just that I have a Herald standing here right now, asking me to choose a player for some unique quest with a reward from the Emperor. Your name is on the list that I've been given, so I decided to see if you were interested, but it seems you're too busy now. That's fine. I'll choose someone else. Sorry to have bothered you.
Who?
Came the girl's scream, but I already switched off the communicator. The amulet in my hands immediately started to vibrate. Of course. Stacy can't let a chance like that slip by. 3 magic words. Reward, unique, and emperor have been uttered, and now she's hooked for certain. I'll have to be sure I get something extra out of her for this.
Yes,
I responded in a detached voice.
Mayan?
The icy blizzard of the Lady Paladin's voice vanished, as if by a wave of a magic wand.
What's the quest? Tell me more.
I have no idea. I just found an interesting facility here and summoned a Herald. He flew in, had a look, and told me to choose a player who would carry out the subsequent instructions connected with this object.
How do I know that this isn't a setup?
Stacy, do you think I have hostile intentions towards my own well-being?
Like I have nothing better to do than just give you a random call? As if I missed you so much, damn it! Is the object in Krong?
Yes.
Then I pass.
The girl's voice was now a world of grief. She was sure good at playing with emotions. I just knew that hundreds of ways of solving the problem and different possible reactions were racing through her head right now.
Hold on, let me ask the Herald about the limitations, I said plainly, playing a total simpleton.
I was allowed to choose any player irrespective of their clan membership, so the clan would not be incurring any penalties. But Anastaria didn't know this, and I was aiming for a good bargain here.
Herald, if the player that I choose is from Phoenix, specifically Anastaria, will her clan incur any penalties?
No. Anastaria would be carrying out only my assignment. Otherwise, if the clan does not want to breach the conditions of a future quest, Phoenix members will be forbidden from showing up in Krong.
Hear that? I asked the girl, who was breathing heavily now.
Yes, she's all mine. Now I had to gradually make her realize that I have to be paid a handsome sum for giving her the right to sit in the bushes for 4 weeks and practice goblin watching. Because I do not work for free.
There won't be any penalties. You will be given personal access here. I agree. Tell the Herald to summon me right now.
Whoa! What's the hurry? I haven't even spoken to Plinto yet. I have to ask him if he wants to take part in all this.
I'll give him a call right now and then make a decision. Thanks for agreeing so quickly. I will call you back. Stop! Mayan! No need to play hard to get. Plinto promised not to let you step off the respawn point until the Herald slaps a ban on killing you. Can you imagine what will happen if you call him now?
Plinto promised to waste me? Thanks for the information. But you must understand that I can't invite you just like that. Everyone and their dog will laugh in my face after that. I had a chance to get a good deal out of Phoenix, but fell for Anastaria's beautifully designed eyes. I don't think so. We'll agree at the outset on what I'll be getting and sign a clear-cut agreement, after which I will make my decision. I have no time limitations, since the Herald said I had until tomorrow for choosing the player, if need be. Think, what can Phoenix offer that would decide it for me right now?
Mayan, please.
Anastaria began to speak in such a sweet voice that I began to shiver.
I promise that you won't regret picking me. I'll be very well behaved.
Reptilus was right. Women can't be trusted. I could just see what Stacy was counting on right now. The action of the poison would play in her favor, and I, like some obedient puppy, would eagerly fulfill her every whim. You can dream on, my pretty.
Of course, my darling Stacy, I will choose you.
I paused and then moved in for the kill. As soon as we come to an agreement on the price of my choice.
You have 10 minutes. If you do not call me back in that time, I'll choose Plinto, come what may.
Maybe he'll forgive me the chess pieces. The countdown begins now. With these words, I turned off the amulet. Have you made your choice? The Herald turned away from the castle and looked at me. Please note that you have to make the choice within an hour, or I will have to choose myself.
I'll make it, don't worry,
I assured the Emperor's representative and sat on the ground. Right now, Anastaria is contacting Ekeler as quickly as she can, and they are trying to decide on the best course of action.
I was very lucky that she had heard the ringing voice of the herald. It was possible to fake a herald's voice in the game, but it could land you in a whole world of trouble. 9 minutes later, I noted the time on my return to Beatwick timer, the Phoenix amulet started to vibrate. "Have you thought of something?" I asked straight away. No point beating about the bush.
"Good day, man. I'm sorry. I don't think I know your real name."
A male voice came from the amulet.
"My name is Eckler. I'm the one you depicted as a king with an upturned nose. Anastaria filled me in on the problem, and I'm ready to listen to your demands."
So they brought out the big guns. I didn't quite see that coming. This was unfortunate. I'd have to improvise on the go.
"Good day. I apologize for my words. I didn't know that Anastaria would give the amulet to you. As for the problem, I don't really understand you.
I offered the charming lady a chance to take part in a certain unique quest. She agreed, and now I'm trying to see what I would get out of choosing her. You must understand that I can't simply offer a quest from the Herald, who represents the Emperor himself in this, for nothing. That's it, I think. No demands. On the contrary, I was expecting an offer from Phoenix. I am quite sure that your clan would be interested in this assignment."
"You are right. We do have a certain interest. I can't deny something so obvious. But every interest has its limits. If you ask for something unrealistic, I would have to decline this quest, no matter how much I may want to get it. That's why I didn't make any demands. To be honest, I expected a reasonable reaction from Phoenix and a corresponding offer, but in no way a discussion about what it was I needed. I'm somewhat disappointed."
"Something tells me that money is not the thing you're after." Eckler dropped into thoughtful silence.
"Before I make an offer, please answer this question. As far as I know, you have Plinto's amulet and also a chance to choose any player. Why Anastaria?"
"You wouldn't believe it, but her amulet was simply closer to my hand. I really don't care which of the clans becomes first and which second. It's all purely abstract to me. My task is to serve the rest of my sentence, preferably in as much comfort as possible."
"I understand now. Are you familiar with the faction of Thracinians?"
"Of course." I swallowed. Eckler managed to surprise me and strike at my most vulnerable spot. These traders in scaling items were world famous.
"Anastaria has leveled up her reputation with them to esteemed, and may invite another player with her, for whom she can choose and buy from the items they have for sale. I offer you any 4 items from the Thracinians, paid for by Phoenix. What do you say?"
The most unpleasant part was that we both understood that Eckler won our little duel the moment he uttered the word Thracinians. It is an artificial faction in Barleona whose only purpose was to sell scaling items— items that leveled up together with the players that own them. At the same time, the faction guaranteed that any player, even one lacking any reputation with them, could come and spend a crazy amount of money to buy some simple object like my tambourine. However, as soon as you increased your reputation with this faction, the items became a whole lot more interesting. I never imagined that it was possible to gain esteemed with them, thinking it was totally out of reach. So Anastaria had gone up quite a lot, in my estimation. This was impressive stuff. Whatever she might be in real life, gaining esteem with the Thracinians was worth a lot, and I could choose any four objects. I sold myself down the river completely. All right, I knew what I was getting into. The initial deal I was fishing for with Phoenix was any four wishes that could be carried out and would not be harmful to the clan. To have a look at the scroll of Carmondond, for example. But then thought better of it. Be careful what you wish for, as they say. What if a Phoenix battle group got hold of me, like those three PKers, locked me down and chased me around until I begged them for mercy? And then they'd ask, "Is that one of your wishes?" That's one way to lose them all. I think not. Everything has to be clearly set down in writing and made official according to the letter of the law. That's the only way of dealing with the leading clans. That's more like it. Now I understand who holds the real power in your clan. Drop me an agreement. If I'm happy with it, I'll approve it and choose Anastaria. The choice must be made today, so it would be good to get through all the formalities straight away.
"You will get the text in a minute," said Eckler, satisfied. "It's been good working with you. Until we speak again."
2 minutes later, a message lit up saying that player Eckler, on behalf of the Phoenix clan, was offering an agreement for me to sign. The text described in detail both what I would get if I chose Anastaria for the quest and what I would not get if I did not choose her. Moreover, Anastaria's success in completing the quest in no way affected any bonuses I would receive. Great. I carefully read the text, but it didn't leave much open to interpretation. Everything was written clearly and properly, so I accepted it and, turning to the herald, made my choice. "I choose Anastaria from the Phoenix clan to watch over the castle." The herald closed his eyes, checking that Stacy was present in the game, whispered something, and a portal formed next to him. A couple of seconds went by, and the one I considered the ideal of female beauty stepped out. Unlike our previous encounters, this time I was no longer in the grips of the desire to roll over like a puppy and start rubbing against Stacy's feet. Something else occupied my mind. How old was she, really? Let's suppose she started playing when she was 14, as soon as she reached the legal age for playing the game. She would have needed at least 10 years to get to her current position. Thus, she was at least 25, if not older.
"Well, hello again, Mayan."
Anastaria fixed her hair and closed her eyes. A few seconds later, she lifted an eyebrow in surprise. She was probably reading the conditions of the Herald's quest, and then broke out in laughter.
"Oh, just beautiful! Oh, Mayan!"
Still laughing, Anastaria started to clap.
"If Barleona ever has a contest for the most epic setup, you'd win hands down. Beautiful. Just beautiful. And most importantly, it's all totally above board."
"Anastaria, the Emperor places his hopes in you," the herald interrupted her. "And now I must go."
The herald nodded, opened a portal, and disappeared, leaving me alone with a laughing 330-level girl.
"Stacy, you really are exaggerating," I smiled. The Lady Paladin's laughter was too infectious.
"Like hell I am. Managing to sell a 4-week-long banishment for such a price takes some considerable skill, but you managed it. At least tell me how you found them."
That was no great secret.
so I told her how the PKers hunted me and how I ran across the goblins and asked them for help. If I didn't see the results with my own eyes, I would have never believed it. Why on earth do you always end up in the middle of such interesting events? Is your ass a secret adventure magnet? Hey, you can chill. I'm just kidding. What are you going to do now? By the looks of it, I'll be stuck here until you finish your quest. I wouldn't even think of offering help. It'll end up costing the clan an arm and a leg, going by your current rates, smiled Stacy. I'll go back to Beatwick, and we'll try not to set foot outside it for the next 4 weeks. The three morons will soon be back on their feet and eager to get their own back, so I'll have a bunch of crazies on my case. Best if I wait it out in a safe zone.
Since when is Beatwick a safe zone? Asked Anastaria in surprise.
As far as I know, it's not. It's just conditionally safe. But that's good enough for me.
So it is.
Anastaria smiled once again and began to take out her things.
Will you help me put up the tent, or do you have to go back right away?
I do, but I can spare a couple of minutes. What needs doing?
Anastaria took out a big roll and handed it to me.
Wow, a frontier ranger tent. If you put it up in a forest, you can stop worrying about your safety. It is only possible to see the tent by walking right into it, or if the owner has given you his permission, or if you're a hunter and have turned on your find humanoids mode, or, well, there were ways, but none very easy. After putting up the tent and hanging up alarm traps around it, Anastaria looked at me and suddenly asked,
"Man, I realize that you won't hand over the chess pieces just like that, but can you at least let me have a look at them? I've seen so many fakes by now, and here I have a chance to see the original. I would never forgive myself if I didn't at least take a look at them."
"Right. Something strange is going on here. Since when did Anastaria turn into a nice girl who tells you her wishes and desires? Something wasn't right. Should I show them? Not on my life.
Stacy, we've agreed that you'll only get the pieces when you put together a decent agreement. We've gone over the conditions.
Where is it? I haven't seen one materialize.
No agreement, no chess pieces.
You should understand, being a lawyer."
"I'm not a lawyer. Where on earth did you get that idea? I have two good higher educations, but neither of them is in law."
"Really? Strange. As far as I know, all of Malabar speaks of you as a lawyer.
What's your degree in, then?"
Now things were becoming clearer with the girl's age. You cannot study for 2 degrees at the same time, only one after the other. So, if she has 2, she's been studying for 10 or 11 years, which makes Stacy older than 28. Damn, what the heck am I thinking about?
"Radio electronics and economics. Right now I'm studying for a marketing degree."
"No way! Tell me Kirchhoff's Law."
"Which of the two?" laughed the girl. "Mahan, it makes no sense for me to lie."
"I'm sorry, that was stupid. I just find this totally mind-blowing. A beautiful girl in an electronics faculty? You would have seriously distracted people from studying."
"You think me beautiful?"
Anastaria dropped her eyes. She was quite the actress. I'll have to train long and hard before I get this good. "Well, I should go. Good luck in your monster fighting."
"Wait!"
Anastaria stood up, made a barely perceptible hand movement, as if activating an aura,
then exhaled and, in a syrupy voice, which I heard before from the amulet, said, "Won't you give me the orc warrior figurines, eh? You don't need them, and I could find a use for them."
"Stacy, we already went over this." At first, I didn't get what the girl was doing,